Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited still because we are in the book of Psalms. And as we know, or as I am sharing with you what I think we know, that the most beautiful verses are written in our Bible come from the book of Psalms. And it is also worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph, 2 were written by Solomon, 1 was written by Moses, 1 was written by Ethan, and 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops or tablets, Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider a commercial break, if you will, that during that time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for this show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Now, the promise is that you will be perfect if you do these things that Jesus Christ is requesting of you. Jesus Christ said again, and he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall be do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. This is taken from Mark chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. Now, the promise is that you're going to be related to Christ. You're going to be a part of his body if you do what he says do, if you do the will of the Father, God Almighty in heaven. Jesus again said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So the promise, if you give, and that is not just physical giving, my precious brothers and sisters, if you give of your time and your attendance and your work, if you give, then Jesus ensures that you will receive much in return. So the question is this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to remind you that the Bible is written in code. It is written in mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code, if you will, is through study and learning. Okay, now let's go to the study. We're going into the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms written in the book, and I have written 232 instructions for the lesson. Now let's go to Psalms 29, verse 3 through 9. I want you to turn your sources, Bible sources, to Psalms 29, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 9. This particular instruction is instruction number 46, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. Beware of the voice of the Lord God. My brothers and sisters, this is critical. Beware of the voice of the Lord thy God. And this is what David told the Israelites in Psalms 29, verse 3 through 9 about that. He said, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of glory thundereth. The voice, the Lord's voice is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh hinds to calves and discover the forest. And in his temple doeth everyone speak of his glory. And that is telling us that the voice of the Lord is critical. And the voice of the Lord is everywhere, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. And what I want you to do is listen to this comparison and see how it relates to what we just read. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And this is what the New Testament says and what the voice of the Lord is so significant about it. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my son in whom I am well pleased. That is what is so significant about the voice of the Lord today, that God identified and he announced his son Jesus the Christ to us. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the voice of the Lord is to be obeyed if you actually hear it or read it in B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible. Everyone does not get an audible sound from God. Those of us who do not must look and depend upon the written word to receive that voice. And that's what I want you to understand from this instruction, that the voice of the Lord is critical to our salvation, and we must respond to it accordingly. Okay, let's go to instruction number 47. Turn with me back to Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 30, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 30, verse 5 and 6. And after the break, we will continue with the lesson.
Hey, John Maxwell here. Today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is grace. It truly is one of my very favorite words. When you think of the word grace, if there's another adjective attached to it, it's the word amazing. And the reason we talk about amazing grace is because grace is amazing. Now, I'm a person of faith, and so when I think of grace, I think about forgiveness. I think of having space in my life to be able, through God's care and grace and kindness, to overcome and to be forgiven. What I would encourage you to do is not only be grateful for the grace that you and I receive, the blessings that we receive in life, but I would encourage you to become a grace giver. Maybe the best thing that I could ever do for you, or that you could do for someone else, is to extend grace to them, to forgive them, to give them another chance, to turn the other cheek, to walk the second mile. I think that there is probably no higher calling than for us to be grace givers to others. And I know this for myself. There have been times I've really messed up. And what I needed more than anything else was not correction. What I didn't need is a lecture. I just needed somebody to say, it's okay. You're forgiven. Let's move on. So today I would encourage you to take this word grace that is truly amazing and extend it to someone else. Make a call that perhaps you haven't made for a while, or get into a conversation perhaps that you haven't had for a while, and extend grace. I will promise you, when you are a grace giver, you experience for yourself personally an abundance of grace. I promise you that. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 47, and the instruction that I want you to keep in mind before I read the text to you, or while I read the text to you, is God favors life for all. That's what I want you to get from the reading of this text. We're going to be reading Psalms 30, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 30, verse 5 and 6, and I want you to get this understanding from the reading, that God favors life for all of us. And this is what it says: For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. And this is what David is telling Israel, that he understands this from God, who inspires him, that he favors life for all. Now what I want you to do is quickly go with me to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8, and it's going to even identify or substantiate this more. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8, this is what the prophet says: For a moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. So that is telling us through Isaiah that the prophecy is that God's mercy, which endures forever, is going to give us the life that he favors. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how it is written in the New Testament that compares and agrees turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And this is what Paul taught Timothy about that favor that God has for us, which is life. This is what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So Paul is teaching Timothy that God favors life for all. That's the truth that God or Paul taught Timothy. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, to give life to all souls, for he is life. Remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and I am the light. So this is what I want you to get from this reading or this instruction, is that God wills that all mankind be saved. Amen. Now let's go back to Psalms 31, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 5, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 15 through 17, and a few other verses to identify this instruction. This instruction is significant, and this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Plead with God, and he will hear you. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Plead with God, and he will hear you. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is you should beg if you have to. You should constantly nag if you have to. You need to keep on pleading with God, and you will get a response. And this is what Psalms 31, David tells Israel about that. We're going to read verse 1 through 5 to begin with. It says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. This is David begging. He's constantly talking to God, pleading with him to save him and to respond to his desire. And verse 9 and 10 adds to this by saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my eyes and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Now, what I'm saying to you, as David is saying or requesting and pleading to God, you continue to talk to God, pleading with him, giving him whatever excuse you may want to give him to have him hear you and respond to you. That is key. Now we're going to go to verse 15 through 17 and get more of an understanding that David is showing us by pleading with God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. My God, that is the bottom line, salvation. And David is telling us, even if you're not going to receive the particular plea that you're requesting, salvation is key. And make sure that you identify that in your request. Now we're going to look at verse 17. It says, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silenced in the grave. And verse 23 and 24 completes the thought with Solomon, with David saying, O Lord, my Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentiful in us rewardeth the proud doers. Let me read that again. It says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage then, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And that ending plea is an example for us to understand that we continue to plead to God. He will respond to us, but we have to continue to plead with him. And now we're going to turn to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And this is what Jesus teaches us. And my brothers and sisters, I consider personally this the greatest prayer. This is the greatest plea, if you will, that we can present to God. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And this is after his apostles requested him to teach them how to pray or how to plead, how to request from God. And this is what Jesus says. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. That's key. God already knows. But see, in your request, you may be pleading for some wants, and that's the thing that you're going to have to get used to not receiving at times. But that doesn't say you shouldn't ask for them, okay? But that's what Jesus is telling them. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask him. And then Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Okay, my brothers and sisters, this is what we should do when we're requesting something from God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven and in earth. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is the perfect prayer. Now, before I give you what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, we're going to take a break.
Listen, America. Be very careful. The Babylonian Empire came down. The Roman Empire came down. The Kushite Empire came down. Don't you get high-minded and think that we cannot come down. We got to be careful what we let go on and what we let happen in this country, because it is possible. History teaches us that kingdoms fall. Nations fall. Empires crush. The Babylonians thought they couldn't be taken. They thought they were bad. But the Persians came up, and they brought the whole empire down. Babylon, not Babylon. Babylon's name goes back to the Tower of Babel. But God still brought them down. Not Babylon. Babylon comes out of the Old Testament. Mesopotamia, the new word we would have would be Iraq. Not them, but God brought them down. God can bring you down. He can shut it down. That's why you got to live with a certain amount of humility. I don't care how many skyscrapers you build, how many jets you own, how strong your technology is. God don't care nothing about none of that. When God gets ready to shut you down, he shut down the whole world with a virus we can't even see. And not one atomic bomb did anybody any good. Not one supersonic jet did anybody any good. Not IBM, not Xerox, not Google, not nobody could do anything about it. God used something we never even thought of. A bug from a bird shut down the planet. You don't know what God's going to fight with, but I declare God's going to get you out of this.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with instruction number 48, which was plead with God and he will hear you. We've already read what David told Israel in the Psalm, and we read what Matthew, Jesus told his apostles and disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 13. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that you seek, knock, and ask, because Jesus said, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened to you, and ask, and ye shall receive. But you must ask correctly. That is the key. You must ask correctly. But I will submit this to you, my precious brothers and sisters. Ask what is on your mind, and God will give you an understanding whether or not it's going to be something he will respond to or he won't respond to. He will respond to your request. And I'm going to tell you, even as sinners, he's going to respond. He's going to let you know whether it's yea or nay and give you some indication of that. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction, that we must plead with God. We must plead with God, and he will hear us regardless. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Psalms 32. Psalms 32, we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 in Psalms 32, and this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Psalms 32, 1 and 2, this is the instruction. Take advantage of this blessing. David is going to share with Israel this blessing. We should take advantage of it. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, after I read it to you, I will give you more details on where this is in place, whether we are requesting it or not, if you will. This is what Psalms 32, 1 and 2 says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, the reason I say that is for everyone, regardless of whether you request it or not, is because God sent his son to save those who were lost. And the John chapter 3:16 says it best. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God still sent his son, who gave his life for all mankind. He not only died for those who believe in him, but he also died for those who he created, meaning his father created from the beginning. All of humanity, all of the sins are covered. So that first blessing, that's why I said that's to everyone. And the second blessing is similar. Verse 2 says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord impute not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The key here is that the sin has been already atoned for, period. But those who do not do the work of what basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible tells you, they will be held accountable. The Bible throughout, Old Testament, New Testament, even in the book of Revelations, certifies it, that we will be held accountable for our works. That's the key. So take advantage of your blessings. And some of those blessings, the one I just read, those two, are for everyone. Now, this is what it, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 46, and we're going to see what Jesus said about this further, comparing and agreeing. Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. This is what Jesus said. This blessing is so significant. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That is critical to the extent that if you are doing what God is telling you to do, if you're following basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, then you won't be caught unawares. And that's key. That's the blessing, that you don't be caught unawares. And you know so many of those in the world, in humanity, are caught unaware for not being attentive to that particular blessing that Jesus gave us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That doing God's blessings will get you salvation. That's the bottom line. When the Bible tells you about blessed be this, blessed be that, this is something that you should practice and concentrate on because you want to take advantage of it. And that's what I'm trying to relate to you in this instruction. Okay, let us go now to Psalms 33. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 5 and see here what David is saying to Israel in regards to the instruction. The instruction is number 50, and this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Why God is worthy of praise. This is why that which he who created us is worthy of praise. Psalms 33, verse 1 through 5. This is what David says to Israel. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It says he loveth righteousness and judgment. That is so significant. When we get into other books of the Bible, we'll get a chance to explore the righteousness of God and the judgment of God. But now let's go to verse 12 and verse 18 and conclude the thought. Verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? There's another blessing. That's why he's worthy of praise, because his blessings will save you. And 18 completes the thought by saying, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So that is the concluding thought on if you want God to pay attention to you, you must fear him. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelations, and we're going to look at Revelations chapter 4, verse 11, and this is where it compares and agrees with why God is worthy of praise. This is what Revelations chapter 4, verse 11 says. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So because God has created all things for his pleasure, then he is worthy to be praised. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God has created us to take part in his glory, and that is worthy of all of our praise, because God is glory, and because God's glory is life everlasting. God wants us to share in life with him forever. And that is worthy of praise, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the next instruction, instruction 51. And before we start it, let's take a break.
I want you to pray for me today, because my assignment today is to get into an area that is kind of difficult to get into. I want to talk to you about believe, what you believe. What you believe about your God, but also what you believe about yourself. Belief is a very important thing. It's not just a matter of denomination. It's not just a matter of being a part of a group or a tribe or a clique or a cult. Belief has all to do with your philosophy that you live by, your vision, your purpose, your goals. As Christians, we've come to understand, or you should understand, I'm not sure that you do understand, that what God is most concerned about is belief. Believing in him. He says, I know you're weak. I know you made mistakes. I know you've erred along the way. But if you believe me, it is counted unto you as righteousness. I want that to sink real deep in your head. He said, I know you're not right. Look at somebody and say, I know you're not right. And even though you try, and even though you labor, and even though you commit, and even though you work on it, and even though you pray, and even though you cry, and even though you repent, the very best of us falls short of the righteousness of God. I don't care how prudish you sit up there and look at me and try to act all super holy. There are moments in your life that you wouldn't want to show on this screen up here right now. You'd be up here tipping out like this. If every thought that ran through your head could be heard on the loudspeakers right now, you wouldn't have friends, you wouldn't have kids, you wouldn't have family, you wouldn't have anything, because I don't care. If you drink communion for breakfast every morning, there are still moments in your life that you think some things that you don't want to be heard. And yet God says, if you believe, your belief is counted unto you as righteousness.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with the study. We're on instruction number 51. But turn your Bibles with me to Psalms 34. We're going to be looking at verse 7. Through 9, Psalms 34, verse 7 through 9, and this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord God is good. That's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord God is good. This is what Psalms 34, verse 7 through 10 says. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Remember I mentioned in the last couple of instructions about the fear of the Lord is key? This is telling us why. That the angel of the Lord will encamp around them that fear him, and he will deliver them. Now, the fear of the Lord is so significant. Moses rehearsed it to Israel in Deuteronomy. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. That is so critical. And this is the reason it is so critical, or one of the many reasons. We know that Isaiah tells us, or not Isaiah, but Solomon also tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? So again, this is critical to fearing the Lord, to receiving his grace and mercy, his righteousness, if you will. And it says in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There is another blessing. Remember we said earlier, that will get you to salvation. You fulfill God's blessings, meaning that you receive God's blessings, and you will get exactly what the blessing tells us. And in this instance, blessed is the man that trusteth in him, because he is going to receive the good taste of the Lord God Almighty. And verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And again, this is a monumental blessing, because the wants of man is what gets man in trouble. It's what I want that gets me in trouble. It's not what I need. We read a few minutes ago in our lesson that Jesus told his apostles when he was teaching them to pray that God already knows your needs. So if you get to the point where you apply what God is instructing us to complete, then we're not going to be wanting for nothing. And we see where David says, for there is no want to them that fear the Lord. That is significant. Now let's go to John. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we just said. We're going to look at several verses. First, we're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 51. John chapter 6, verse 51. And this is what Jesus says, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, taste and see, my precious brothers and sisters, the bread of life. Sweet Jesus, that is what he's telling us, that if we eat of this bread, we will taste and see the goodness of God. And in verse 35, it continues and it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? I am the bread of life. He that believeth, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is saying, as David identified to Israel, O taste and see, the Lord God is good. And Jesus is what we are supposed to be eating of this side of eternity today. And verse 63 completes the thought by saying, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. That is more than critical, that we're talking about the spiritual tasting of God and his goodness, not the physical tasting of God and his goodness. It's not the want. It's the need. It's not the flesh. It's the spirit. That is what is so significant for us to understand, my brothers and sisters. And now what we're going to do is, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that eating of the fruit, listen, my brothers and sisters, that eating of the fruit of the tree of everlasting life is our nutrition. That is our nourishment this side of eternity. The reason that it is so significant is because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil gives us death. And that is what we are saddled with through inheritance. And that taste is deadly. But the eating of the fruit of the tree of everlasting life is the sweet meat of Jesus, the bread of life. And that gives us everlasting life. And that is what God wills for all of us. When we first started off the program or tonight's lesson, we talked about God favors life. That is the life that he favors, that he's talking about. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 34. Turn with me back to Psalms 34, and we're going to look at verse 11 through 18, Psalms 34, verse 11 through 18. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, is the instruction, this is how you fear the Lord God. Now, this is going to be part of the lesson that David rehearsed to Israel. Now, there are so many other texts in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, that tells us about the fear of the Lord. But this instance is what David told Israel about how you fear the Lord God. This is how David said it in Psalms 34, verse 11 through 18. David says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good, he must fear the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. There are two instances there. We know that in the book of James, it tells us about the tongue, that it is hell on fire and deadly. Verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So again, that's how you fear the Lord. You depart from evil and you do good. And you can't depart from evil if you are using or eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. You can only depart from evil is by eating the fruit of the knowledge of everlasting life. That's where you find the good. And the reason I tell you that is because the curse in Genesis of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil took away the good that is in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It has been polarized. So you can only benefit from the evil. And verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his eyes are open unto their cry. And now before we complete this lesson or this instruction, we're going to take a break.
At a young age, we find ourselves searching for direction and purpose. While taking the time to observe the greats that have done this before us and modeling their footsteps to match our own. I have a fond memory of a leader like this. His name was Ralph Balducci, my 8th grade football coach. It was his first year coaching our team, but when he stepped on the field, you could see this passion and desire in his eyes. As the year went on, his belief in us grew stronger, and our own success started drawing our team closer together. Our belief in our shared values took us farther than just the game of football. Our friendship and trust in each other also grew stronger. It was all because of one man caring so much to inspire a young group of kids to achieve something great. Leadership is not a position awarded to an individual. It's the individual's desire to lay the foundation for others to follow and help them find the courage to do something that may otherwise seem impossible. We all need great leaders in our lives to help us through the hard times and inspire us to do great things. Because once we go through the experience of following great leadership, we find ourselves developing the leadership traits that will soon inspire the next group of individuals looking for direction and purpose. Become that next leader that uplifts others' motivation to develop the passion for opportunities yet to come.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah, Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete instruction number 52. This is how you fear the Lord God. We were listening or reading the text, Psalms 34, verse 11 through 18, that David was rehearsing to Israel on how to fear the Lord God. We were on verse 15, and we have, this is what David says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. So the fear of the Lord is to not do evil. The fear of the Lord is to be righteous. And we are seeking that even a contrite heart, meaning you're repentive, you're sorry for the wrongs that you've done, and a contrite spirit, meaning you leave the worldliness behind and go for the godliness in front. That is part of fearing the Lord. And that's what David is telling Israel. Now what we're going to do We're going to go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to see what the New Testament complement says, comparing and agreeing with this. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 12 through 13, and this is what Paul taught the Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, listen, my brothers and sisters, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That is, again, emphasizing the criticality of fearing the Lord. And fearing the Lord, some say, is reverential awe. But it is more than reverential awe. It is both physical and spiritual. The psalmist says in 119, David says, my soul trembleth for fear of thee. So we are looking at a significant part of our salvation taken from the fear of the Lord. So that's how you work out your soul salvation, with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So doing God's good pleasure, Paul is telling the Philippians, is to fear the Lord God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that obeying basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is how you fear God. That is the best example that I can give you, my precious brothers and sisters who are listening out there. If you respond affirmatively, if you apply basic instructions before leaving earth, fearing the Lord will be part of that application, and that will give you the salvation that we all so desperately desire and need. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 34, and we're going to look at verse 19 through 22. Psalms 34, verse 19 through 22. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the psalm. God delivers the righteous from affliction. There is that word again, righteous. And in fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you the understanding that I have of righteousness and judgment. I believe that righteousness and judgment are the alpha and the omega of our existence, of our eternal life. There is going to be righteousness. God is going to show us the right way. He's going to give us integrity. He's going to give us trustworthiness that we need. He's going to show us uprightness. That is where we are in the beginning of our lives, with God's righteousness. That's why we come into the world as infants, and you might say innocent. That is the righteousness of God. The judgment of God is the end of our days. That is what is going to be our omega, and that is where God shows correction. That's where he shows punishment. He shows discipline, reprimand. Even it could be destruction, my precious brothers and sisters. That is the significance of righteousness and judgment. Anyway, this is what Psalms 34, verse 19 through 22 says about God delivers the righteous from affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his saints, or his servants, and none of them that trusted him shall be desolate. So we know that because of the knowledge of good and evil, we have more than a tendency. We are troubled in this world. We know that Jesus told us in the Gospel of John that that's one reason that if we keep his words, he's told us to keep his words, to fear the Lord God. That is going to be part of our peace, because we shall have tribulations in this world. But be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, that we understand that. All right, now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And this is what Jesus said about God delivers the righteous from affliction. Listen to this, my precious brothers and sisters. This is so significant. Jesus tells us today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus is saying to believe on him. He said that he is the bread of life. Oh, taste and see how good God is. This is significant. We know that we're going to be in tribulations. We are to lay that labor and heavy burden on him. Jesus told us that, or Jesus didn't say, but David said in Psalms 52, verse 23, that cast your burdens upon the Lord. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he will not let the righteous be forsaken. And we know that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says similar. He says that you cast your burdens upon him because he has love for you. And so that is what we are supposed to do. Jesus is saying, come unto me and cast your burdens upon me, and I'm going to give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Again, Jesus is telling us, fear of the Lord is part of that meekness, my brothers and sisters. That is causing us to be lowly of heart and humble. And that is part of the yoke of Jesus. And he said that we will find rest unto our souls if we do this. And the last verse says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, that is so significant. Why should we suffer if we don't have to? And if we follow what Jesus tells us, God delivers the righteous from affliction. This is what Jesus is telling us. This is the formula that he has given us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is our way out of affliction and our way to practice. Jesus again says, I'm the light. I'm the life. I'm the way. I am the truth. No man comes unto the Father but by way of me. So take my yoke upon you, and my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. That is what I'm trying to share with you in this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 35, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 6. And this is what the instruction is telling us as I read the text. It's saying a prayer for safety. Okay, any prayer is a good prayer, my brothers and sisters. But this is the one that David taught Israel, a prayer for safety. Psalms 35, verse 1 through 6. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of and shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be a chaff before the wind, and let the angels of the Lord chase them. This is a prayer for safety. Now we're going to, because of time, we're going to go straight to what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we pray as Jesus prayed and taught us to pray. In John chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 14 through 16, Jesus prayed to the God Father for us, and that's how we should pray. So go to that, and it will give you that instruction. So now this ends the lesson for tonight, and so the host and I would like to thank you for your participation, and a good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.